Welcome to Real Talk with Life After Grief, Chris, where we talk about relevant issues as it relates to individuals in grief as they navigate finances and the advisors who help them. We help clients in grief navigate financial matters. We also teach advisors how to emotionally and financially work with clients in grief through an unparalleled process. This week's podcast is sponsored by Life After Grief Financial Planning and Life After Grief Consulting.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Life After Grief, Chris. In the spirit of talking about trauma in this season, I thought it would be prudent to talk about trauma in conjunction with depression. And if you've listened to any of my early episodes, my life, so to speak, the things that I've been through in my life, and I think it goes without saying that I have experienced some forms of depression, specifically when my mother and father passed away. And I didn't know what it was, didn't know how to identify it, and I certainly didn't know how to cope with it. And in this particular episode, I want to talk about a situation that I recently went through and in regard to some racial trauma with regard to my son. I'm not going to talk in detail about the racial trauma situation. I'm just going to use that as a springing board as to me noticing that it could have brought me into a situation of depression. Conversely, when my mom passed away, the things that I felt during that time, I was extremely tired. And I'm going to give you some resources from the National Institute of Mental Health. And so I'm going to couple these resources with some of the things that I felt and went through at the time. Hindering your daily activities and feelings of hopelessness, pessimism, feelings of irritability, frustration, restlessness, hard to sleep, I would say. Loss of interest or pleasure in hobbies or activities. I can say during that time, I probably lost touch with my friends. I didn't hang out with my friends that much. Significantly decreased energy, fatigue, feeling slowed down. I generally have a lot of energy. And during that period, I did not have a lot of energy. Some people find difficulty in concentrating. That really didn't pertain to me. Some folks also say that they have a hard time remembering. Again, difficulty sleeping, waking early in the morning, or oversleeping. That didn't really pertain to me either. Changes in appetite, unplanned weight changes. Physical aches, pains, headaches, cramps, digestive problems that don't necessarily have a clear physical cause and do not go away with treatment. I also have a client that her husband passed away, and for a long time, and it was a long road with her husband. For a long time, she had been misdiagnosed with regard to a lot of just different ailments. And it finally took someone to go through her thought in her mind. And it was that she had been depressed for a long time. And again, I'd like to give some personal background as to some of the things that happened. And I'm going to tie a lot of this together at the end. But going back to when my mother passed away. So when she had passed away, it was a clear ending for myself, and I ramped up and I was in this mode of constantly taking care of my mom and my dad for that matter. And with regard to finances, I didn't know if I was going to get a call late at night, during the day, or if I was going to be pulled out of work. And it was just running. I was running at a very fast pace. And when my mother passed away, all of that stopped. And now I had this time, this endless amount of time to focus. Even though I still had to focus on my father, it was a little bit different. And so she passed away, my energies focused on my father. And then certainly when my father passed away, everything just stopped. And it was just really me. And I had to focus on what transpired. And it was very daunting. And I felt withdrawn. Again, I said that I was isolated from my friends. I just didn't really want to be around anybody. I found myself sleeping a lot at that time. And I've always had a clear focus to be able to work and perform. I think that's one of the skill sets that I developed early on in life with some of the things that I went through. But I didn't know that these things were going on with me, and I didn't know how to put a stamp on it or what it was caused. And there's some other physical things that happened. My heart was racing, and I constantly had this extreme anxiety. And I didn't necessarily go to the doctor a lot during that time period, other than my annual physical, if there was something else that popped up. And I didn't have any of the other symptoms that, you know, that may be considered extreme, self-harm or anything like that. I probably drank too much during that time period, but I quickly identified that was not a long-term solution because it just didn't make me feel very good. I have the ability now to look back and see some of the things that I did not do that could have helped me now. And I've talked about this self-care wheel in a previous episode. I am going to give some information in regards to the notes section, in regards to the self-care wheel. In the self-care wheel is broken down into six parts. It's professional, physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual, and personal. And I am going to dig into a couple of them. I'm not going to go over them all in grave detail, but I am going to go through some of the ones that I could have helped myself during this time period. And one of them is surely psychological. One of the things that I do now that I didn't do a whole lot back then was journaling. And under psychological, there's an element of self-reflection therapy, drawing, painting, doing things by yourself, reading a self-help book, which I've done a lot since that time period, join a support group. I've done that since that period as well. And think about positive things and practice asking and receiving help. And I do that. I ask and I go when I need to get help. I'm also going to focus on the emotional aspect. You are worthy. Self-love, self-compassion, affirmations, crying. Men don't necessarily cry. I cried a lot during that time period, and I'm not afraid to cry. And it's not maybe an outward display of emotions in public. A lot of mine is probably behind closed doors, but I do that. And I'm not afraid to do that because I know that is a physical, and it's an emotional release of energy. Doing something for yourself. And this is something that I've always had a hard time doing, but one of the things that I do is I go to lunch by myself. I can just focus inward and just think. No one's really going to be bothering me. And telling yourself, again, things that are great about you. You are good. You are great. You are going to do great things. And I'm also going to go over the spiritual aspect. Again, I've gone to church a lot, and I continue to go to church. I take my family to church with me, and it's a place where I can go and reflect. And ideally, one of the top things under spiritual is self-reflection. And anyone that knows me, if you heard me speak, I have a spiritual advisor, Father Leo, that has walked me through most of my life and helped me through lots of different situations and pointed me in directions. And I'm very appreciative of him. And be inspiring. Play with your kids, your grandkids. Play with some toys. Volunteer for a cause. I do that. Again, anyone that has heard me speak, I volunteer for hospice once a week. And that takes me out of my individual situation at any point that I'm going through. And the point of me going through some of these things, and again, there's personal, professional that I didn't go into detail. And it's to let you know that there's things that you can do, before you even get into a situation where you're depressed. And they will help you identify that. And I call these foundational boundaries that help you spring forward. I recently taught a class on work-life balance, and we were talking about a lot of the things that could bog you down in your work or your life. You work too many hours. You're not home enough with your family. A myriad of things. And I described it as like a rubber band. You're constantly being pulled in certain directions. And if the rubber band is being pulled down so much, it will either stretch out or will break. And I equate that to having stress. And that can affect your immune system. And again, your digestive system and your cardiovascular system and your respiratory system. All of these things can be affected. And it takes someone, maybe outside of you, to help you identify and to put these things into place. And with that rubber band analogy, if you are constantly making sure that you're taking care of yourself, that rubber band is, can't say ever, but it's not going to get to the point where it is ultimately beyond stretching to where it can come back to level. And again, I'm just touching the surface on depression. And again, there's a myriad of why people are depressed. And I'm just using my own personal experience. And mine was, I would say, external to myself. It wasn't anything chemically within me, or it wasn't anything that I necessarily did. And again, it was external. And things have been external. And to bring this back full circle to the situation with regard to my son, it tested me because it brought me to a place of trauma with regard to racism. And when I look at that, I was very quickly able to identify a situation where I could have gotten into a depressed state. The identifiers for me were obviously the trauma that I've been through, understanding and knowing what that does to me physically and mentally. It's very draining. I understand that and I know that. So during the time in this situation that I recently experienced, and it wasn't like a one day thing, it spanned over several months, and to deal with it on an ongoing basis, I had to really make sure that I was taking care of myself. And that meant hanging out with my friends. That meant going to church. That meant speaking and seeking guidance from my spiritual advisor. That meant self-reflection. That meant continuing to exercise. That meant meditating for me, which I do on a regular basis now. And it meant a lot of the things, volunteering. It meant a lot of the things that I talked about on the self-care wheel. And again, I have the fortitude and the wisdom to look back and see how things were dramatically different at a different point in time. And I'm gracious for that. And I hope that this podcast is an extension of that and can help anyone else that is potentially facing a situation where they're depressed for whatever reason, whether it's something that is within themselves or they're in a situation or something that is external. And I'll bring this back full circle in regards to finances. So I'm a financial planner. And one of the things that cannot happen is that I cannot let situations like the one that I described invade my professional life, the foundation that I have now built for myself allows me to continue running at a good pace and doing really what I love to do for my clients and for good folks. And I draw a lot of good information out of my clients, just like the gal that I described that had some health issues because of her trauma and what she was going through with her husband. And it helps me in a professional sense to identify with good folks like that. And then it helps me to pick out things and to help them focus on what they can focus on and give them little tidbits. Are you taking care of yourself? And giving them permission. And this particular gal, it was such a daunting situation. The only thing that she really wanted to do, she wanted to buy a new car. And it wasn't that I gave her the permission, but I could see from outside of her situation, that was one thing that was going to make her very happy. And so I gave her the permission, so to speak. And within probably a week or two, she went out and bought that car and she was just elated. So that's what makes it great for me. And that's why I know that I have to take care of myself. I hope this episode was impactful and I hope it was very helpful. And please feel free to pass this episode or any other on to any of your friends, family members, or colleagues. Cheers. Be well.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you are a client and are looking to work directly with Chris and or our firm, head on over to Life After Grief FP. That is Life After Grief FP. The FP is for financial planning. If you are an advisor looking to emotionally and financially work with your client in grief, or if you are a client looking to get your advisor's head in the game, head on over to lifeaftergriefconsulting.com. That is lifeaftergriefconsulting.com. Any related information referenced in this week's podcast will be located here in the podcast section.